We're joined by the former Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson. He ran things around here from March of 2016 to the end of 2019, a veteran of more than 30 years on the Chicago Police Department. Eddie, good morning. Nice to be with you again.
Good morning, Bob. Long time, man. How you doing?
All right. Let's talk first about what's been happening in the city. We've been talking a lot about these teen takeovers in Streeterville. Now there's some new protective fencing up surrounding that area. They've got those portable barricades along the east and west sides of Columbus, south of Illinois. And how much does that help? What do you think?
Well, I think it's going to help somewhat. It's obviously not going to be the end-all, be-all, because the fencing, I believe, is about maybe 4 feet high, something like that. And it's been used before for parades and things of that nature. So there is an opportunity for those kids to jump over it if they, you know, really want to get frisky down there. But I think that that is something that they can try and see how that works. I don't know how effective it's going to be, you know, because it's going to be, you know, conducive to what those kids are willing to do. But it's a start. It's a start.
Mm-hmm. The weather, if it doesn't rain tonight, you've got kind of a preview of what some fear will be a long, hot summer. I know you're still in touch with many of the men and women on the force. What are you hearing about the debate over a curfew, for example?
Well, the cops out on the street, the ones that I've spoken to, they're all for it, because any tool that they can put in the toolbox to help out, they're all for it. And I do think an earlier curfew will help. But, Bob, at the end of the day, here's what has to happen. You know, we have to understand that unless there is a specific consequence and a certainty of a consequence for that behavior, they're going to continue to do it. So, in my opinion, you know, I know we, you know, went down on the curfew enforcement over the last few years. The pandemic started that, of course. So CPD has to ratchet that up, you know, in terms of curfew enforcement. But at some point, let's just be honest, we're going to have to hold these parents accountable for what their children are doing. And until you do that, you're going to keep seeing this, you know. So the parents have to get more involved with this situation.
What I'm hearing from my sources on the force is that the superintendent, Snelling, has been telling the mayor that if you've got to arrest some of these teenagers if they are doing something that breaks the law, or else you're going to have a bad summer. But the mayor, according to what I'm hearing from the police sources, doesn't like hearing this. And I know there's no doubt that we need more after-school programs, and we need more involvement from the parents, and we need to make sure these kids have things to do. But it's not an either-or. You got to do that, and you got to do something else, too. It's not enough, is it?
I agree totally. If there's not a certainty of a consequence, then you're not going to change behavior. So Superintendent Snelling is right. I mean, if you want to send a message, you're going to have to arrest them. Now, we don't like doing that, of course, because we're talking about kids. But at the end of the day, if they're breaking the law, they're breaking the law. And here's the other part about that, Bob. If CPD does ratchet up the enforcement and start arresting these folks, and I know it's taking officers off the street at critical times of the evening, but if you do that, you won't have to do it for that long before they get the message. Because let's face it, they're not going down there to get arrested. But if that happens and they start seeing a certainty of a consequence, they'll stop doing it. I'll give you an example. So I was the deputy chief in charge of the downtown area from about 2012 to 2015. And that's when we started seeing this kind of behavior happen. And we put a plan in place, put the prisoner vans down there and ratcheted up the arrest for these kids' bad behavior, and you stop hearing about it. So there is a way to do it, but the mayor has to understand, if he doesn't think these kids are listening to what he's saying, then he's fooling himself, because that stance in their mind is the mayor being soft on what they're doing. And if you put that message out there, they're going to continue their bad behavior.
There's still a big manpower shortage in the department, isn't there? And if, for example, Superintendent Snelling wants to pull cars from the districts to put them downtown on warm weekend nights, then there are problems in the neighborhoods where those officers are being pulled from. So how do you deal with that?
So he's between a rock and a hard place with that, Bob. Because, you know, when I left, we had about 13,000, somewhere between 13,300 and 500 officers. So, and I still didn't think that was enough, to be quite honest, but that's what we had. Now you're looking at just over 11,000. And so you're going to have to rob Peter to pay Paul when these types of things happen. Because let's face it, the downtown area is the economic engine of our city, you know. So we don't want to lose that, but we also don't want to make the outlying district suffer also. But you have to make a decision, you know, so they need to get the manpower back up. But for right now, you know, we can't worry about that because you don't have what you don't have. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he just has to make strategic decisions in that. What I would do sometimes is I would allow, you know, the district, if I had to use tactics like that, I would allow the districts to maybe call back certain units, like the attack units, to work overtime, you know, work their days off to try to supplement that issue. But it is a conundrum, and it's going to be difficult to figure out, but you have to do something about it. So I feel for him because he just doesn't have the manpower that I did.
What part, Eddie, does the state's attorney play in all this? What the state's attorney does or doesn't do? How does that affect the whole situation?
No, it affects it tremendously. You know, so if the state's attorney doesn't want to prosecute folks for committing these kind of crimes and those misdemeanor offenses that they're doing downtown, then everything, again, you're going to demoralize the cops once again because they're chasing them around down there. If they arrest them and the state's attorney doesn't do anything, that's, you know, that's demoralizing for them because they put all that effort into it. So what the state's attorney does plays a huge part in CPD being able to control this. And from what I'm hearing about the new state's attorney, Burke, I think she's going to be on board with enforcing, you know, the ordinances and the laws.
Interesting to hear your views, former police superintendent Eddie Johnson. How's your health? How you doing, sir? You sound great.
Hey, Bob, thanks for asking. Man, I'm good. I'm good. Still getting in the gym about 4 or 5 days a week. The kidney is functioning 100%, so things are good right now.
Yeah. When was it that you had the kidney transplant?
That was in 2017. So, crap, it's been what?
Good for you.
8 years now. Yeah.
So all right. Hope you're over the hump
really
now.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep hitting the gym. Keep hitting the gym.
I will. Yeah, trust me, I will. Got to stay active some kind of way.
Eddie Johnson, former Chicago Police Superintendent, veteran of the department for more than 30 years. And it's always good catching up with you. You stay well.
Okay. Thanks, bye. Have a good day.
You too.